Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, the most scintillating hour of finance radio. Did I tell you, Darren, I actually had people that we met with from a show that were kind of looking at me, giving me the point and the wink and going, oh, the most scintillating hour. And I just started laughing but it's catching on. And for those of you just joining us, we say that very much tongue-in-cheek. I mean, for us, it is. This stuff for me is fascinating. We try to make it as exciting as possible because I'm pumped. I mean, obviously, right? Enthusiasm has never been much of the problem when it comes to this. But anyway, got a great show planned for you. A little shout-out, too. Ran into watching the Super Bowl with a high school buddy of mine, a great friend, and actually one of the only guys that I'm still in contact. Isn't that funny how you just run? Are you like that, Darren? Is it more the high school buddies you're hanging out with, or is it the college guys?
College.
Yeah.
And new friends since I moved up here to Seattle.
Yeah. Isn't that weird how that works out?
Actually, it's mostly my wife's friends.
Well, that. Well, welcome to marriage, buddy. You handed all that up. I mean, you got a ring on, man. So I was hanging out with a high school buddy of mine at his house in Super Bowl. Had a great time. And his parents are like surrogate parents to me, just phenomenal people. And he told me his dad really enjoys listening to the show. So, Al, if you're out there, hi, hope you're enjoying it. Hope I'm not embarrassing you too much. But great people, and made me smile when he said that, because I thought, man, that's really cool. It's the power of radio, right? Got a great show planned for you, and we're packed, as always. No interviews this time, so hopefully that doesn't make you change the dial. Hopefully we can hold your attention by ourselves. But as always, we're going to get into the market update, and then we're going to talk investing myths. Oh, man, there's so many out there. We're going to get into them, though. We got a list of them, and there's the things that everybody should know. Once again, these are not anecdotal. We're not throwing opinions. These are just facts. We got numbers to back them up. But there's just an unbelievable amount of bad information out there. And if you've heard the show before, this is nothing new. You've heard me talk about it. You've probably heard me rail about it. You've even heard the occasional rant. But anyway, we're going to get into that. Then we're also going to talk bonds. Had some funny conversations this week with clients who saw some bonds in their account and were really puzzled. So, and I know we rail on bonds all the time. I'm not taking any of that back, but want to get into the difference of strategic bond positioning and more tactical bond positioning and talking about the role that plays. So we're going to discuss that. And then markets, we want to talk about that in general, aside from the market update. And we want to say something that I do not say lightly. It's something that every time I say it, part of my stomach kind of curls up a little bit. But the phrase, this time is different. And it's a joke in the investing world. This time is different, right? Because it never is. But there are aspects of this time is different. And what we mean by that is the setup, the conditions. That's what we're talking about. And they're irrefutably different. And so we want to explain that. And then also want to talk about history. I'm a student of history. I think if you study economics and finance in any detail, in any historical context, you realize patterns. You realize that nothing happens in a vacuum. That from the beginning of time, man has always thought that it has made more progress than we have. And I suspect that will probably never change. I think a lot of it has to do with the inherent arrogance of man. And, you know, this time is different. You know, if we want to reference it, it was the tech bubble in 99, right? These valuations are insane, but this time it's different because this is a new burgeoning economy. It's never different. It's never different. But sometimes conditions are different. And when conditions are different, when things are being done that have never been done before, and it's a very simple concept, right? And we've talked about this on the show before, but wanted to delve into it a little bit deeper. When we have inputs that are different, when we're putting different things into an economy, when we have different conditions than we have ever experienced, I think one of the most naive and dangerous things we can do is expect historically average outcomes, right? If the inputs are different, the outputs are going to be different. And I think every logical adult understands this. Yet that's not the way the investment community is made, or that's not the way it works. And it's certainly not part of the, part of the language. It's certainly not part of the common knowledge of the investment game. And so we want to delve into that. But let's first get into the market update. And then, as always, at the end of the market update, rather than ending it, we're going to talk about Chinese data. If you guys have heard the show before, you've heard a lot about China. And just as a brief overview, one of the reasons we're focused on China is China is one of those things that is making up a markedly different input in the world economy. It's a unique player. It's a unique setup. It's a unique condition that we've never seen before. And we've got the data to back that up and want to kind of go into Chinese data and discuss what kind of role that could play. So anyway, let's get into the market update. So what's happening? We spoke about this at the end of the year. We said expect sharp rallies to the upside. And I suspected, again, through history, that those rallies will be vicious enough and violent enough to suck people into it and think that, hey, you know, it's dawn again. We're going up. Here we go. I heard Jim Cramer the other day, and I don't mean to beat up on Jim. He comes up on the radio show a lot. But, hey, it's the beginning of a new bull market. Get in there. Buy, 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 right? Yeah, you know our take. That's just, I completely disagree. Could be. We're not market timers. We haven't sold all of our stocks, right? We're more defensive. But what you're watching here, and it's that basic relationship. One of the reasons that we think that we have entered a new paradigm, and look, we're not saying the stocks are about ready to go straight down. I think a scenario that could play out is you could see these 20-25% down smashes like we had at the end of the year and watch us regain 10-13%, you know, maybe even as high as 14% to the upside, and then have another 10-15-20% down. And I think you could see us take this step down. The reason why I think that is because central banks are playing such intricate roles in the economy, and they're going to fight this. As a matter of fact, I think the Fed will resume lowering interest rates this year. And as a matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised if the Fed funds rate dropped all the way to zero by the end of this year. Now, why do I say that? Because the more data we see on a global basis continues to trend downward. U.S. data has taken a dip downward just in the last month. And you can see that happening. And remember, this is kind of the byproduct of a globalized world, is that, you know, it used to be the world could go into recession and the U.S. could hold its own. That's not the case anymore. And you can see that just by the amount of revenue that American-based companies are making outside of the United States. So if the world catches a cold, so will we. Now, will we fare better? Probably. Most times we do. And I would suspect that we probably will fare better. But it'll be rough sailing. I digressed a little bit there, and I want to finish that thought. One of the reasons that we're that we don't trust this is the old adage that markets take an elevator up and an escalator down, and it, or excuse me, an escalator up and an elevator down, meaning that the moves up are gradual, the moves down are sharp. Look at the last 3 months. Exact opposite. That sell-off at the end of the year was very rhythmic. It was very, it was sort of like the inverse of 2017, right? And the crazy thing about it was volatility didn't even really spike. We didn't get the VIX above 36 during that whole downturn. Maybe it hit 37, but it didn't hit 40, didn't hit 45, didn't hit 50. At no point was there widespread panic, contrary to what you're hearing on the TV. And if you're just joining us for the first time, turn off CNBC. Don't watch it. It's worthless. I'm telling you. I looked at the headline this morning. Markets down. Dow's down another 150 points based on China trade war headlines. Guys, this has nothing to do with trade. It's not helping the scenario, but it has nothing to do with trade. This has to do with every economic indicator across the world. Every key economic player that has played a part in the growth of the last 10 years is in bad shape. Okay? Germany looks like it's just tipped over into recession. Why don't you hear this? And we're going to get into this later in the segment. We talk about markets, and it relates kind of to the investment myth side of it. You've got to remember that the people you're listening to, their job is to sell stocks and bonds. Wall Street doesn't work for you. Wall Street works for the companies whose stock and bonds they sell. That's why you never heard the head of Fidelity, or you've never heard the head of E-Trade. You never heard the head of Goldman Sachs come out and say this isn't a good time to own stocks. And if you're waiting to hear that, get comfortable. It's going to be a while. Right? It's just like a roofer. Is a roofer going to tell you, yeah, you know, this isn't a good time to replace your... No. Right? Or your yard guy, eh, this isn't a good time to take care of the landscaping. Of course not. They're going to talk their own book, right? Which we refer to the industry as if whenever you're listening to a guy talk about the things he likes you or thinks you should invest in, take a look at what he owns. We call it talking your own book, right? It's and everybody's guilty of it to a certain degree. But we've just, my point is you got to take everything with a giant grain of salt. And you know, it's one of the reasons we had Bill Fleckenstein on about a month back. And if you didn't listen to that interview, go listen to it. Like I said, I know that I'm just a guy on the radio. And one of the reasons we bring on these experts with great track records is to lend credibility to what we're saying, to deliver the real information. Because like I've said on the show before, is there a marketing aspect to this? Sure. We want to get our name out there. We want to meet clients. We think that the listeners of KTTH are our perfect demographic. We see the world in similar lights, right? There's a reason why we chose to do our radio show on KTTH. At the same time, there's another aspect to this. I remember going through the 2008-2009 thing, and, you know, we thought things were really bad. We thought things were going to get really bad. And we just didn't have a platform to tell people. And even the people we told were skeptical. Oh, yeah, I've heard this before. You're young. You don't know what you're talking about. And it was so frustrating because I just sat there and said, look, the current economy and the current market is based on this idea that real estate can go up by 8% annually into perpetuity. And on the face of it, that's absurd. That's absurd on so many levels. You look at real estate values throughout the history of our country and they've mirrored inflation levels, right? Which is somewhere between 2 to 3%. So this time was different. Now we go up 8% into, I mean, just it's nonsense, right? And when you see all that being priced into stocks, you see all the crazy lending that was going on. I saw friends of mine who were 25 years old, you know, making $45,000 a year, getting $400,000 loans. You just sat there and knew, you know, I didn't know that the banks were going to blow up. I didn't realize they were that overexposed, that toxic trash. But you don't need to. You just look around and you go, wait a second, this just doesn't add up. And I think we're in a really similar place now. I think it's a lot more complex because there isn't just one issue. There's tons. And I think because there's so many issues out there that people are kind of tuning it out. And this is one of the things that we talked about last week is you got to understand something about all this quantitative easing, what the European Central Bank is doing and the Swiss National Bank is doing and the Federal Reserve being, you know, one of the worst offenders, not in terms of size. I mean, Europe has dumped more money and printed more money into their quantitative easing practices and China's a whole different ball of wax. But you got to understand that these things don't fix anything. They're not even really designed to. They're designed to juice the economy with the underlying premise that if we elevate asset prices and if we make money cheaper to lend, that the economy will start doing better, and that doing better, it will heal itself, right? Well, that's the exact opposite of what's happened. Now, we've seen asset prices go up and everybody feels good right now. But what has everybody done? They've all binged on debt because of low interest rates. So what we've got to understand is that central banks don't fix things. They mask symptoms. And why this is dangerous is because you've grown up in a world without anywhere near this level of central bank intervention. So you're used to looking at asset prices as an indicator of economic health. But you have to understand that on purpose, asset prices no longer tell us that story. That's the whole point of QE, quantitative easing, is to get asset prices to mirror what central banks want them to look like rather than what they should. They're not reflecting the economic reality of what's going on. And so you have to keep that in mind. So when we're sitting here looking at this market, and I see a VIX right now at 16.37, which is historically very low, that there's still not anywhere near the amount of fear that there should be out there. And again, I'm not a proponent of fear for fear's sake. That's not at all what we're saying. But when there is no fear in a market, you're not looking at a real healthy market. There should always be a fear of loss. It's like trying to play poker, you know, with a $20 buy-in, right? And people really aren't afraid to lose. They'll go all in on a hand. You know, what's the big deal? What can you, you know, whatever. They don't really care, right? They're not afraid of loss. There isn't enough skin in the game to make them nervous. You know, it's the old adage. You hear it with golf all the time. Hey, what should we bet? And it's the old answer is just whatever makes you nervous, right? Because that's when we're really gambling. That's when we're really playing poker. It's when everybody's got chips in the game and they got skin in the game and they're afraid to lose. And right now, this market just thinks, oh, that was a typical blip down where we're just going to charge right back up. I can't tell you how many clients I've heard that from. And that's another shift in investor psychology. Right? A lot of investors got really freaked out at the beginning of 2018 when the market dropped. And they've been freaked out with every single, you know, consequent, you know, bout of volatility. Almost across the board, everybody's answer to what happened at the end of this last year was, well, it's a great buying opportunity. It's a great buying opportunity. Hold the phone. Remember, and we're not trying to time. We're trying to stay disciplined. We're trying to look at the reality. We're trying to look at what's actually going on. We still have historically expensive stocks. Okay, trees don't go to the sky. We've said that on the show a million times. Now is not the time to press the gas. And people go, Zach, you've been saying that for a year and a half. And I go, pull up a chart of the S&P 500, guys. There's also this mistaken illusion out there that we've missed out on something because we've been more conservative. We've actually done pretty well over the last year and a half. There's segments of the portfolios that we put together that haven't done that great, but overall, we're positive. But look at the market. One of the biggest reasons we're positive is because of the bond replacement strategy we put in that's made money and that's guaranteed not to lose, that rises with 50 to 60% upside of the stock market and guarantees you against loss in down markets. Again, we've said it a million times. It's real. You don't believe me? That's fine. You know, you preach till you're blue in the face. Not everybody's going to take the advice. But go look, pull up a chart on the S&P 500. It hasn't been, we've made a round trip over the last 16 months. We are currently below where we started last year on the market. And yet everybody's, we're missing out. We're missing out. No, guys. You got to have context. Let's see, what is that? Okay, so we are at 26.97 on the S&P. Let's see, we were at 26. We're right at this level in November of 2016. Or excuse me, November of 2017. So what is that? This is 11, 12, this is 14, 15 months, round trip. You know, in technical analysis, which we don't talk a lot about on the show, but it's something we pay attention to. You know what we call that in technical analysis? It's a rounded top. It's one of the most bearish signs you can possibly see. where a bull market goes a 14, 15 month period of time without making new highs. It's not good. Now, everybody will cite, look, everybody will jump in and go, well, what about December, December 29th to December 29th, 2014 to December 29th, 2015. It was even. Same thing happened there. Yeah, a little bit similarly, but you didn't have those parabolic moves. Again, look at it on a chart, right? We hit this run in July of 2018. July of 2017, where we went parabolic. We broke the long-term trend line, shot above it, then got hammered in January of 2015, worked our way back to set new all-time highs, got hammered down below it. This is actually very reminiscent of 2007. Go compare it to a chart of 2007. Now, does the chart tell us everything we need to know? No, but the warning signs are there. Interest rates have gone up. The Fed tried to hike. Market panicked. You got PMIs and ISM numbers all over the world showing recessionary indicators. Everybody goes, what about that great jobs report? Jobs is a lagging indicator, guys. Jobs usually do not pay attention for 6 months. Now, could I be saying all this for naught? Could it just be a routine 25 or 30% pullback and off to good time? Sure, it's possible. But we're going to go through the show today and tell you a variety of reasons why we don't think that's the case. Does that mean we can't go set new all-time highs above 2940? Boy, I highly doubt it. But it's possible, right? I've been doing this too long to know that, hey, nobody's got a crystal ball, including us, right? But what we've said all along and what we're sticking to is this is not the time to increase risk. This is the time to button down. And if you think the bonds that you currently own, we're going to talk about this too, right? How we can own some bonds in a portfolio. But if you think the bonds are going to protect you, in a lot of ways, the bonds, I'm more scared of them than the stocks. Because they're ridiculously priced. Makes no sense. And you're not going to hear this from Cramer. Just like you didn't hear the real estate crash from Cramer. Cramer goes, oh, I told everybody to get out. Cramer didn't tell anybody to sell or reduce exposure in the 2008-2009 debacle until, I want to say, till after Lehman. The market had already dropped 25 to 30%. Okay, so if you're watching CNBC thinking you're going to get that education and they're going to tell you what's up, good luck. Ain't going to happen. And I actually have a real problem with CNBC on a moral level because we refer to it as bubble vision. Everything on there all the time is, oh, buy this, look at this, look at that. It's just garbage. It's trash. They're as reliable as Fed economists. And you know, they're part of the Wall Street apparatus, right? People don't want to hear bad news, just like in life, right? What is it? It's the tough stuff that we need to hear. We don't need to hear how great we are. We don't need to hear how much money we're going to make. We need to know the risks. Hence, look at that transition. Hence, Know Your Risk Radio. So anyway, now, we're running a little over here on the market update. Darren's giving me the evil eye, but I want to cap this off with one of the things that we think is different, one of the things that we're watching, we don't think is different, we know it is, just data, is China. Okay, now we've spent a lot of time talking about China, but in some more research, and again, why are we focused on China? Because China is no longer a backwater economy. It's the second biggest economy in the world, and it's made up 50% of global growth over the last 10 years. Okay, if China has issues, and remember, China hasn't had a recession, in 25 years. So, well, that's because they're amazing. No, it's because they're a debt-financed economy and the government is just backfilling bank balance sheets. That's why. Okay, but if they can keep doing that, then there's an argument that the growth story in the world can go on. I'm a nervous Nelly and long stocks and do the whole Cramer buy, and everybody's a bull thing. Yeah, hey, look, that's possible. So when you're looking at China, what really boils down to is, are the numbers that we're getting from the PBOC, the People's Bank of China, are they believable? Now, one of the most popular things out there to say, oh, they're not believable. But a lot of the same guys that say that talk about what we call the plunge protection team. I don't know if you've heard about that, but it has to do with the President's Council on Markets It was founded after 1987, after Black Monday. And the belief behind these guys that perpetuate the idea of the plunge protection team is that when markets start getting rocky, that the Federal Reserve or the Treasury step in there and buy things to boost the market. Do I believe in that? Not really. I just think it'd be too hard to hide. Am I going to eliminate it as a possibility? No. But I'm just skeptical. I just think it'd be really hard to do. Plus, I don't think that a little bit of buying of futures can really stem the tide, maybe for a short period of time. But, you know, I'm skeptical. Now, when we look over at the People's Bank of China in some research we are doing that our analysts dug up this week or over the last actually 6 months. But we noticed something. We noticed that the numbers that the People's Bank of China, the PBOC, whenever you hear me say the PBOC, I'm talking about the People's Bank of China, which is their central bank, which is their equivalent of the Federal Reserve. They said that across the entire complex of their economy, that the NPL rate or the non-performing loan rate, so people that aren't paying their loans, is slightly less than 2%. And I'd heard that before, but I didn't see it in the official data, the official releases from the PBOC. And I saw that and I started to scratch my head. And here's why. And I think this is an amazing tell that I didn't really put together until this week. When we talk about the Chinese economy, I think a lot of people out there know about ghost cities, right? These cities they've built up, they're tier 2, tier 3 cities that they've built up that nobody lives in, right? I haven't seen them myself, but I've spoken to people that I trust. This is known, right? This is not a conspiracy theory. This is known. We also know that they've built legitimate bridges to nowhere out where there's no population, just as a way to, again, boost GDP, give people jobs, increase spending, blah, blah, blah. Kind of part of the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez strategy, right? We're going to pay people to dig a hole and then pay people to fill it up. Boy, that new Green Deal. I can't even start talking about it. I'm going to just jump. Wow. Just when you think we've reached max stupidity in our culture, sit down and get your popcorn ready because we will up it. You know, I mean, it's just insanity. Anyway, so they said the NPL rate is 20. Now, some people we've talked to that do phenomenal research in China, great track records, those estimates are more like 40 to 50, even from Chinese insiders, which is unbelievable to have an NPL rate in an entire economy at 40 to 50. But if we're going to assume that, we have to sit there and look at with skepticism the Chinese numbers, which I think a lot of people do. But just because we're skeptical doesn't mean we're right. But when the PBOC said that the official NPL rate was less than 2, I really started to scratch my head because I sat there and I went, wait a second. No one in the world would make the argument that there isn't record amounts of excess capacity in the Chinese economy, meaning that there are entire brand new modernized factories that have never been used. I have experienced this personally. When I was the CFO for that manufacturing company based out of Tacoma, in the infinite wisdom of the owner that drove the company into the ground, he needed to start a manufacturing operation in China. He didn't need to. He just thought he did. But anyway, they started manufacturing in a 3-year-old manufacturing facility that was brand new, modernized, that had never been used. They go, hey, we need to build a factory. Hey, rather than one, let's build 4, right? Because they employ people to do it. And like I said, nobody would argue that there's excess capacity. So here's the question. If you have that much excess capacity in an economy, somebody owns the paper on those assets, meaning that is debt financed, right? Nobody would build it with hard cash and not have a productive use for it. I mean, maybe they would. They'd be the worst businessman of all time. But someone owns the paper on that. And if it's not producing anything, then they're not paying the bill. So we don't have any way of knowing really what the NPL rate is, but that is a smoking gun. It is absolutely a smoking gun because what we know is there's no way on God's green earth their NPL rate is less than 2%. It's just not. And if we look at that, then what other numbers are they giving us that are garbage? My suspicion is most of them. And why is that a big deal? Because they're choking on debt. Their economy is starting to turn down, and we're getting the worst economic readings out of that country in the last 25 years, the growth engine for the world. Now, think about this. In the history of our country, we've racked up $22 trillion worth of debt. Staggering number. Since 2009, the Chinese economy has racked up $50 trillion in debt. And that's not yuan-denominated debt. We're talking about, in dollar terms, $50 trillion worth of debt. If you think that can continue without a serious credit event, I got a bridge to sell you. It can't. And the other thing that I can tell you with a very high level of certainty is that the NPL numbers, or the non-performing loan rate numbers that the PBOC is giving us, are garbage. They are garbage. It's not possible. You can't have that much excess capacity in an economy without significant NPL rates. And that's important because what that means is the PBOC is backfilling bad bank balance sheets, which means that if the world figures that out and realizes that's the only way that the PBOC is keeping the Chinese economy afloat, their currency is going to tumble big, and it's going to send shockwaves throughout the world. So that's a theory. I want to illustrate, and I want to really emphasize that that's something we're watching, because that to us is the scariest economic setup that we're seeing right now. The other thing that's concerning is that all the economies around them, their major trade partners, are reflecting that weakness. Look at Australia. Look at Europe. Look at Germany. It's not a good time out there, guys. Anyway, as always, we've gone way over. If you're too overexposed to risk, and the things that we're talking about here resonate, and they're concerns of yours, and if you panicked at all during this last downturn, A, panic is never the solution. We panic because we don't have a plan. So if you need a plan, if you sat there and watched the quote-unquote defense in your portfolio, the bonds, lose right alongside with the stocks over the last year, give us a call. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. We've got solutions, guys. Our average accounts finished slightly positive last year. S&P was down 6. There's better ways to do it. So give us a call. 866-779-RISK. You can go to knowyourriskradio.com. Download the newsletter, get the white paper we put up there from Roger Ibbotson, go to knowyourriskradio.com. If you want to do a phone consultation, you can email us, okay? We can do a back and forth over the email. We can sit down in a consultation meeting. We can have a phone consultation. We just want to get the word out and show you, hey, there's a better way to protect your assets. And if we're wrong and markets go higher, you get more upside, all the while lowering your fees and drastically reducing your risk. It's possible. We're doing it every day. As a matter of fact, we had the last count, Darren, came in, I think we had 40 million in new clients come in the last 13 months. 95% of that's from the radio audience. So it's happening. People are sitting down realizing what we're doing, and they're sitting there going, hey, this makes sense. Yeah, it does. So give us a call. Anyway, we got to run. We'll be right back, and we want to get into investing myths. Stick with us. And I already said we'll be right back, but we will. It's a promise. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
I have to tell you, what a relief for my wife and me when we got signed up for long-term care coverage. The more I learned about the fact that nearly 3 out of 4 of us will need some form of long-term care in our retirement, there are so many issues at play. For some people, they can't afford it and they become a burden on their friends and family. For others, you do have money set aside, but it wipes out everything that you've saved. And maybe most importantly, it's about having a plan so that all your children have to do is carry out your wishes. It's not a burden on them. And that's why I love the advice we got from Brian Ott and 525 Advisors. We started by going to one of Brian's free classes, and that's what I recommend you do to find out about all the different plans they offer. Brian does have a few classes coming up this month. Seats are limited, so sign up now at 525longtermcare.com. You'll get a free copy of Brian's book. Look too. Go to 525longtermcare.com, 525longtermcare.com.
Volatile markets are never fun, but it provides the opportunity to see exactly how much risk you're exposed to. Like Warren Buffett always says, when the tide goes out, you find out who's been swimming without their trunks on. Hey, it's Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. Chances are the defense portion of your portfolio, the bonds, got hit right along with your stocks. So what do you do? Look, safety doesn't have to mean lower returns. By using our bond replacement strategy, our clients have actually increased their returns while being insured against loss and all the while lowering their fees. Call now and get your free copy of our brand new booklet, Common Sense Investing, and learn how to protect your retirement against loss but still participate in market gains. Call 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Or go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, welcome back, and let's get right into it. That was a long opening segment, long market update. Darren informed me that that was one of the longest, so sorry for going a little over there. Anyway, let's get right into it. And this segment, look, in no way do I want to position myself as the guy that, or the only guy out there that understands what's going on. I'm not. A lot of guys that are a lot smarter than me, obviously do this for a living. And I'd like to think that we're one of the few out there that, bring this higher level of economic thinking to our clients and to the portfolios we manage. And why do we do that? Because we live in a different world. And a lot of the common knowledge out there, especially in the retail investing space, is just wrong. And this goes into what I was saying in the opening segment of saying, hey, look, stocks are the greatest wealth generator of all time. I was born and raised a stock guy. Never won't be. It's the thing I love about this industry. It's exciting. Love researching them. Love doing the layman's work. It's just always been fascinating to me. So in no way am I saying that, hey, don't buy stocks because Wall Street's... I mean, if you think Wall Street's your friend, I mean, you got to wake up, right? But the problem is that a lot of that dynamic, that conflict of interest has created a lot of misnomers, especially in the financial advising world, where these guys aren't trained to manage portfolios and break down balance sheets and look at macroeconomic trends. They're taught. They're trained, just like I did. I went through the training of the big banks, worked for three of them. They're trained to sell financial products. And this topic came to me, investing myths, because a good friend of mine, great guy, smart guy, is an advisor down in the San Francisco area. Good guy. Really, looking out for his clients. And he writes weekly blog posts on LinkedIn for his clients. I can't stand LinkedIn. Sorry for Microsoft people out there. I don't know. I just don't like it. I'm not a big fan of social media in general, but LinkedIn just fries me. Anyway, and I have an account because you kind of have to, I guess, but whatever. Anyway, so he posts these things on LinkedIn, and I read his blog post. And in it, he said, hey, none of my clients called scared during November and December last year. And I, first thought was, well, good. It means you're managing risk properly. Our clients didn't call in a panic either. Got a lot of calls thinking they were worried that we were being too conservative. But no panics about losing. And as I read further, he said, the reason why they don't panic is I've explained to all my clients that the money you need for groceries and the money you're going to live on, we got in bonds, and bonds are safe. Of course, my antenna went up, right? You guys know my take on bonds. Look, the average bonds and mutual funds have bled money over the last 4.5 years. If that's your safe money should be guaranteed against loss, right? Am I wrong? If it's safe, right, it should be CDs. Something that's guaranteed not to lose. Owning a safe asset or safe money in a historically low interest rate world, in an asset that loses money as interest rates rise, that's paying you less than the inflation rate, that's not safe. I mean, look at CDs. They'd outperform the average bond fund over the last 4 years. And everybody goes, well, yeah, it's easy to say now. No, go listen to the show. We've been saying this for 3 years, guys. It's no secret. Rates go up, bonds will get slaughtered. That's what's going to happen. And if rates don't go up, which everybody goes, well, what if rates don't go up? And I go, congratulations. You own an asset class that's paying you less than the inflation rate. Okay, so you've all heard my diatribe about bonds. I'm not going to have to walk you through that swamp again. Anyway, then he went on to say, and furthermore, the stocks are the growth part of your portfolio, and we've got that on a 15-year horizon. And why do we think about it in terms of 15 years? Because stocks have never been negative for 15 years. And I about spit my coffee over the desk. Now, he's not, to be fair to him, it's an error of ignorance. He's not trying to mislead people. Again, this is what you're told, right? Look back, pull up a chart of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. It peaked in 1929 and did not reach that peak again until 1953. That's 27 years. Then again, the Dow peaked in 1965 and didn't recover those highs and break through to new highs until 1985. Okay, that's another 20 years. So, I looked at my friend and I went, you're right. Except for 50 out of the last 100 years. Half of the last 100 years saw markets trading below their all-time high. Now, is he trying to purposefully mislead people? No, but it's just errant thinking. It's just not true. And depending on when you bought in there, there are periods of time that depending on where you bought, you were negative for as much as 30 years. Right? That's just peak to peak. And so then those same people that say, and look, you probably heard it before yourself. Those same people will look at you and say, hey, you know, stocks always go up. And I go, what about these periods of time? And they go, well, those are one-offs. And I go, guys, that's half of the last 100 years. Half. That's 50% of the time. That's not paranoia. That's reality. But we've all been blinded to it because for the last 40 years, they've done nothing but go up. Well, why? Because we've had a steady decline in interest rates the entire time. And we've been able to do that because we've got no fiscal constraints. We've got no monetary constraints because Nixon took us off the gold standard in 1971. And what have we seen in the last 20 years? Two of the biggest drops in market history that were saved only by what? The Fed pumping new bubbles. Right? We had the tech bubble crash. Fed drastically lowers rates. They didn't launch QE this time, but drastically lower rates, reduced lending standards, and boom, that gave birth to the real estate bubble. That was even a bigger mess. Boom, that blew up. What did Fed do? Took rates even lower and then launched quantitative easing. Now we're sitting here looking at a marketplace that's got stocks, bonds, real estate, virtually every asset class at near record highs. So what I'm saying is when you take a step back, the diorama, it's pretty clear. I mean, it's laid out right in front of us. This isn't like Bill Fleckenstein used to manage Gates' money. He was on the show, had a short-only hedge fund, phenomenal track record. Wrote his book, Fed Bubbles, that was released 2008, January 13th, 2008. Prescient timing. Don't take it from me. Listen to these experts. Listen to these guys who've got track records that have made money off these events. And yet these investing myths that these guys are out there telling you, you got to understand they're not lying to you. They just haven't done their homework. They're just regurgitating whatever the bank has told them to say. Stocks always go up, except for 50% of the time. The other one that you're going to hear that we've pounded on before, but I want to revisit, is that stocks go up, bonds go down. Now, I know anecdotally that isn't the truth. So we started to dive into that and go, okay, we know that's not the truth. That hasn't been the case over the last 10 years. Certainly wasn't the case during the great financial crisis. But what is it over the last 150 years? And stocks and bonds worked in that inverse correlated way 30% of the time. 70% of the time, they were uncorrelated. They'd go down together. They'd move up together. One would go sideways. The other one would go up. They're unrelated. So the whole defensive strategy that you've got built into your current portfolio, it has only been true 30% of the time over the last 150 years. And yet people are still clinging to it, ignoring the fact that that hasn't been the way it's worked over the last 10. And we've said this on the show before. Why is that? Because debt is now the problem. Bonds are debt. Which is exactly why when the Fed tries to raise rates, you see the market tank and bonds tank at the exact same time. Now, I'm not somebody that think, like I said earlier, I'm not the smartest guy out here. But this is a segment of the show that you should send to friends and family. They need to hear these things because the whole premise of their portfolio is wrong. It's not my opinion. Just look, go look at the data. It's right there. But we're not operating a firm and we're not running a radio show based on what the banks are telling us to sell financial products. We've got eyes wide open doing our own research. And you're going to need that, guys. This is a different world. I mean, listen to the proposals these people are putting in Congress. I mean, who thought we'd have to start arguing the merits of capitalism over socialism? That debate is alive and well. We're talking about trying to save babies post-birth. Don't be the frog in boiling water. And you see all this craziness going on around us, and you've got a portfolio built on historical averages. It's just not going to work. And that's not me just trying to garner up business here. It's me trying to warn you that what we're talking about is inevitabilities. I don't know the timeline. I think we're really close. I think it's actually already started. Could I be wrong? Yes. And we've still got a balanced portfolio. We're still managing all sides of it because we got to be right no matter what happens. But your portfolio that you got at home, I was talking to a lady yesterday. Husband's got a sizable portfolio. He correctly started identifying some of these risks. So we put more money into bonds. It's not going to do it, guys. Your bonds are going to get shellacked. They got shellacked in 2008. Same thing's going to happen again. And then the other side of it, too, that everybody wants, that everybody looks past is, look, the other reason why we're all advocating this bond replacement strategy is because if we're wrong, our bond replacement strategy will blow your bond portfolio away. It wins regardless of which happens. So anyway, we got to run. Got it. Next segment's coming up. We're going to talk about, talking about being a student of history and looking at the way these things play out and the way that cycles repeat themselves. So anyway, if what we're saying is resonating with you, if you're sitting there going, you know what, I got to rethink this because I hear what this guy's telling you. I've heard the same thing from my financial advisor. Go pull up a chart. See if I'm full of it. Go pull up past radio shows when we talked about the volatility complex blowing up last year. Earlier this year when we said you're too heavily weighted in tech, get out. Netflix got smashed by 43%. All the high flyers, the FANG stocks got crushed. Apple was down 30, right? We're not always right, but we do know what we're talking about. A lot of these things are fundamental. But if that's resonating with you, give us a call. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. You can go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com. You can go to Bulwark Capital Management, MGMT.com. You can shoot us an email, ask for a phone consultation. We can have a meeting in person. We can email back and forth, whatever works. We're just trying to get the word out. There's a better way to do it. There's a safer way to position your assets. And you need to button down the hatches and get ready for the storm. Just like Snowmageddon, man, I hope it dumps feet. I love it. I love it. Anyway, we'll be right back. Thanks for listening. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with my financial advisor, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. And Zach, what I love about you guys is your focus on risk management.
Well, Dory, we're a fiduciary and a holistic retirement planning firm. Our goals are simple. Get our clients the highest returns with the least amount of risk and cost.
I know they're normally used for safety, but how risky are bonds right now?
If a significant portion of your retirement portfolio is in cash or bonds, that just doesn't work in this low interest rate environment on the verge of inflation. You need a bond replacement strategy.
I gotta tell you, you have to read it. Zach's brand new version of Common Sense Investing. You'll learn that bond replacement strategy, learn how to protect your retirement against loss, but still participate in market gains. Call now, get your free copy, 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we're back. Thank you for sticking with us. I'm ranting today. Today is a show of rants. We've only got one segment left. We're going to fill it in here about 9.5 minutes. And first, I got sitting there talking to Darren in the break about this whole Green New Deal, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And like I said, I think that should be part of the lexicon, you know, which I know refers to language, but part of the lexicon when you're looking at markets, you're looking at economies. And when we're saying this time is different, we're not talking about, I actually don't think this time is different. I think this will be like any other bubble. It's going to die hard, right? Because everybody's got greedy eyes right now and everybody's been watching markets do nothing but go up over the last 10 years. And the biggest fear is to the upside. Everybody's, you know, the hardest thing in the world is to sit and watch your neighbor get rich. But just look around you. Like we were talking about, $22 trillion in debt, running up against $1.5 trillion deficits at the height of an economic cycle, which is insane. You got people getting elected to Congress that are talking about getting rid of airplanes and rebuilding every house. I mean, this is just, and look, guys, this isn't fringe. You're going to hear more about this. I'm telling you, this is going to happen. Maybe not getting rid of airplanes, that's ridiculous, but the whole monetary or modern monetary theory about governments printing with no constraints. I mean, that's already happening. But they're going to step on the gas. And we're just entering the craziness. And I'm working on a newsletter title right now, Entering the Storm. And we want to lay out a lot of this information, put it out there because data, it's all about data. Say, don't tell me what you think. Tell me what you know and then show me. And that's what we're trying to do here. That's really what we're trying to help people get their head out of the sand and be proactive. I talk to people all the time, listeners of the show that go, you know, I know something's wrong. And even ones that don't end up becoming clients, right? I know something's wrong and they're sticking to the same portfolio because they say it's worked for them. But yet we look at the averages they've gotten over the last 20 years and they're, you know, anywhere from 35 to 50% below what they were told the portfolio would make. It's just mind-blowing to me. I sit there and I'm like, man, if you missed the targets of what we should have made, if you missed it by 50%, if the reality ended up 50% lower than your projections, it's not a very good hit rate. You can miss by 50% on your own. But anyway, look around you. And I alluded to this in the first segment. I understand. I think one of the things that lends us the most credibility is that we don't offer certainty. We're not like every other, you know, guy, financial guy on the radio show just going, look, ignore those guys and just, you know, ride it out and they're stupid and all. The number one way you round up clients in this game is certainty, providing certainty. To trust me, I'm smarter than you, I know better than you, certainty. Why aren't we doing it? Because the only thing certain in this world, and this is more so the case now than it's ever been, is uncertainty. And in an environment like that, you have to unequally weight downside risk. Why? Because you're retiring. If you're accumulating, if you're like Darren sitting here in his late 20s, saving for retirement, look, keep the pedal to the metal, keep dumping money in there because you're going to be buying stocks at their lows. And over time, by the time you retire, you're going to make a pile, right? When you're entering retirement, the game changes. There's no upside to down markets. There's only downside. And you need to be guarding more against the loss. The other thing you need to make sure is that your assets are productive. And this brings us into our next talk about being a student of history. And you guys have heard me rage against bonds. Got a lot of client calls over the last couple weeks. Zach, I see we've got bonds in the account. I thought you said they're horrible. Well, they are. But I said, you know what kind of bonds we own? They go, no. And I go, U.S. Treasuries. And I said, you know how they've done over the last 2 months? And they go, no. So pretty good. Made money on them. Well, then why do we have them? But why are bonds bad? And I go, because every economic indicator we look at across the globe is going negative, including in stalwart economies that have made up the vast majority of growth in the global economy over the last 10 years. We've already talked about that. But when those dominoes start to fall on a global basis, people will run to the safest assets, just like they did in 2008, 2009, just like they did in 2001. What are they? It's U.S. Treasuries and the U.S. dollar. Now, I'm a long-term dollar bear. The dollar is going to go the way of every fiat currency in the history of mankind. It's going to go to zero. But this is the world that we live in. The U.S. dollar is still the reserve currency of the world. Therefore, debt issued by the U.S. government, which has the sole ability to print U.S. dollars, they're the safest assets. And that's the difference between tactical and strategic. Strategic, all the portfolios you've got today are all based on historical averages, and that's called a strategic allocation. Bonds held in a portfolio right now on a strategic allocation is the absence of strategy. Or like Rush says, it's negative strategery. Right? Because it's you're living in a 0% interest rate world. I mean, corporate bonds are a ticking time bomb. We've talked about that. And look, that's might sound like hyperbole. It's not. Got the biggest pile of corporate debt in the history of the United States, history of our economy, and the biggest percentage of it, 50%, has got the lowest credit rating. It literally is, by definition, by the data, the most shaky pile and largest pile of corporate debt the world has ever amassed. That's irrefutable. You may not like it, but that's the truth. Even municipal debt is in danger. You know, think of not all of it. There'll be some of it that's good. But it can get hit because municipalities don't have the sole ability to print dollars. And the world runs on, you know, it's the reserve currency of the world. The world has to have dollars. The other thing that we are looking at, and the reason why we like U.S. Treasuries, is 70% right now the world is drowning in 340% debt to GDP, and 70% of that debt outstanding, like we mentioned on last weekend show, is denominated in U.S. dollars. When that debt starts tipping over, the rush to dollars will be, there won't be a choice. So can we own bonds? Yeah, but we don't want anything but U.S. Treasuries, and we hold them on a strategic basis. We don't hold them long-term, not now. It's a losing game. And if you don't want to buy into our strategy, our bond replacement strategy, take your bonds away from your advisor and go stick them in a 2.25% CD. Quit paying him 1.5% or 1% or whatever it is to manage a bond portfolio that's just going to leak money. It's stupid. You're taking interest rate risk, you're taking credit risk to get at the same similar yield that you can get in a CD. It's horrible risk management. Why isn't your advisor telling you this? A, because they don't know. Remember, they're just selling products that the banks tell them to sell. The other side of it is look, that's probably 40% of your assets. He doesn't want to quit collecting fees on that. I don't blame him. But be a fiduciary. Do some homework. Know what you're telling your people. And if those aren't the conversations you're having, if this isn't the type of tactical thinking that's going into your portfolio right now, good luck. But if it's something that you want to look into, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. And look, we're not twisting arms. Dory just walked in here prior to the show, and we were, you know, throwing ideas back and forth and shooting the breeze. And look, Dory's got a great reputation. Dory wouldn't be standing behind us if this was some kind of snake oil. Yeah, he wouldn't be a client of ours if this was some kind of snake oil. We're really trying to do a good job and deliver education and save people from what's coming up. You can also go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com, bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. Go to the website, check out the videos we've got on there, learn more about what we do. You guys know the drill. But once again, 866-779-RISK. And it's not a high-pressure approach. It's very simple. We just lay out, look, here's what you got. Here's what we've got. Here's how it performs. You know, do you want to do it? Give us a call if you do. Like I said, we've had almost $40 million worth of clients come in the door over the last 13 months alone. So anyway, we got to get running. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. I hope you're surviving Snowmageddon. I've got my little guy with me, Kai, 6 years old. He came to the studio with Dad today. We got to get headed south so we don't get snowed in on the side of I-5. Have a wonderful weekend. God bless, and we'll talk to you next week. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.